You're listening to a 3CR podcast recorded in the 3CR Community Radio Studio in Melbourne, Australia. If you like what you hear, please consider donating or subscribing so we can keep bringing you more independent community content. For more information, go to 3cr.org.au.
Now I'm a union man, amazed at what I am. I say what I think, that the company stinks. Yes, I'm a union man. When we meet in the local hall, I'll be voting with them all. With a hell of a shout, it's out, brothers, out. And the rise of the company's fall. Oh, you don't get me, I'm part of the union. You don't get me, I'm part of the union. You don't get me, I'm part of the union.
Good morning, members and listeners to Radical Radio 3CR. You're with the Fire Up MUA program, and you're here with the Victorian Executive, Dave, Rob, Aaron and Dean. How are you, fellas?
Morning, David. How are you, mate? 6:30 wouldn't be anywhere else, would you?
No, for sure.
Because we're missing one. Jason is not with us. He's got some organising that he's doing, but we are now five, as was reported in the last show, that we've Jason Farrow's come on board as the Victorian organiser, and I've got to say, since he's come on board, he's done an extraordinary amount of work in backgrounding and
mapping.
It's been terrific.
So. Understanding the workplaces and started bringing in new members already. So hasn't even been there in the chair for a month, and new members are rolling in. And
2 weeks.
There you go. I don't think I was that effective when I was a brand new organiser.
You weren't. Good observation of you.
So there's been a lot happening in Australia over the last week with the Israeli President Isaac Herzog coming to Australia. There's been protests everywhere, and for good reason, and the MUA is opposing Herzog's visit to Australia, and there's lots of reasons for that. And, you know, some of them are that the UN Commission of Inquiry on the Occupied Palestinian Territory stated that Herzog openly incited genocide. He's been personally named by the International Court of Justice. Australia is a signatory to the Convention on the Prevention and Punishment of the Crime of Genocide. This means we must punish acts of genocide. The Commission recommended that Herzog be investigated and prosecuted by the International Criminal Court. So the MUA has called on, join the calls for Herzog's arrest and prosecution. That obviously hasn't happened.
No, he's just rolling around the streets with a police escort.
Mm.
So it's not like they don't know where he is, you know. they're fostering the bloke around, getting him around the streets, and I mean, just the gall of a bloke. Like he signed bombs that were dropped onto Gaza. He has been reported as saying that there is no innocent civilians in Gaza. Like I don't know why we would invite him here as a country. It's beyond me. I mean, I do know why, because
but divided on the backdrop of the Bondi thing,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So none of us, no one, you know, we're all very sad about what happened in Bondi. But the reality is, you can't just go and invite a bloke whose history is that. To me, and it's a little bit extreme, but I thought to myself, can you imagine in 1942 or something, a heap of Germans are celebrating something and they get massacred by some lunatic. And so we go, well, Hitler wants to come out and pay, you know, wants to pay homage to the people who've just been. No, we're not having that. We're not having those people here. And I know that's a little bit extreme, but it's certainly similar. And we don't know that. And Albo has misread this like you wouldn't believe.
Oh, I don't think he's
we're talking about social cohesion. This is dividing the community. It's not helping to unify it. And the media again. Gee whiz. They're trotting around, you know, whatever the government lines are, they're trotting out.
Mm. Dave, you horrific. Spoke at that rally. We had a big turnout for the rally in Melbourne, as there was in every, you know, city across the country.
On Monday,
what was the feeling, mate? Was it?
Look, the crowd were really enthusiastic and really, you know, excited to be there. To be honest, It was a huge crowd, one of the biggest ones I've ever seen. And yeah, look, it was an amazing event. And of course, Herzog's coming to Melbourne today, and there's going to be another rally at Flinders Street at 5 o'clock today. And we'd like to encourage our members and listeners to turn up to that. So,
and our veterans were in Sydney. Our veterans had done a trip to Sydney, you know, to go up there for the week, and you know, on a Paddy's role in the union as he launches into retirement as the national secretary. And they went to the protest, and a couple of them got arrested, Mr. Bracken and Mr. Harkins. Jex and Kev got arrested. Kev's got a gash on his elbow where he was dragged by his ankles.
Did we see the footage? Have you seen some of the footage?
Is extraordinary.
Wild. A bloke's got his hands up and the cops are laying into him.
People are praying.
People are praying and they're getting just dragged away. And
what about the bloke on the ground, defenceless, and the bloke just punching him when he's had enough on his right side of his ribs? He starts belting his left side of his ribs.
And the police have been given extra powers through changes to legislation, and it's happening here in Melbourne tonight, where under the Terrorist Act, the police will be able to ask people for IDs, search them, search their cars, and restrict access to certain areas wherever Herzog is. So it is a crackdown on our civil rights and our human rights. So massive changes in legislation around protests, and you know, it's something that we should be worried about as unionists.
Yeah, absolutely. Some of the changes that are coming in are insane. Like the fact that you can just ban them in New South Wales, ban a protest, is madness. The idea that you can say from the river to the sea in Queensland and get slotted for 2 years, the fuck's that about?
Yeah.
That's just...
Sorry,
like, come morning. On.
6:30, I'm angry. It's just insane. And you... Not a peep out of some of the free speech warriors that would usually pipe up about saying, we should be allowed to say things. What about when there was, like, the notion of changes to the Racial Discrimination Act and all the libs and One Nation come out and said they have the right to be a bigot. Well, they want to be able to say whatever the fuck they want. Again, sorry. There you go. I want to be able to say whatever I want, including my profanities. And now they're saying that you can't say from the river to the sea. Like, just calling for an end to a genocide is jailable by 2 years. That is absolute madness.
We'll continue to protest about, you know, workers' rights and human rights and every other right we want to, and hopefully
all the rights from the left, obviously.
But if you take away the right to protest, then what does the community do?
Oh, we write strongly worded letters. Dear Sir Madam, I trust this email finds you well.
A petition. That's what's happened over history, isn't it? People rise up and they've had enough of something.
Yeah.
And they believe strongly in something. We need to have that right.
And we've achieved great outcomes through protest, and I'm sure we will again in the future. We'll go to our first song. It's it was played at the Super Bowl this week, I believe.
Okay. Who won the Super Bowl?
Oh, is this by Bugs Bunny? Is this one of Bugs Bunny's songs?
No, it's not.
I mean Bad Bunny.
It's by Green Day. It's called American Idiot. Back to Fire Up MUA. You're with the Victorian Executive, and we've been talking about protests, and one of the biggest protests over the years has been on May Day. here in Victoria. And
I thought that was a celebration.
We've been doing this for I reckon about 6 or 7 years now, Dave, and I think that's the first time you've nailed a segue. Well done, mate. Big milestone today, everyone.
And Robbie, you went to the first May Day meeting the other night.
Yeah, I attended that on behalf of the branch. You know, we all do that. And it was good. It was well attended. Looks like, you know, just get the sequence of events, you know, in order and all that sort of thing. There'll be further meetings to take place, but they're well on their way to pretty much the same as, you know, last year and the one before, where there'll be the wreath-laying ceremony for the 8-hour memorial, and then the things will move on in May Day stuff. And there'll be a march and a rally and a barbecue that we all get behind and put on our aprons and cook for the people who turn up. It's a well attended, but it just needs to be more well attended. I thought last year was good. We did a show, Annie. I think we did a show, but my live show, which was fantastic. So things are on their way there.
That's right. We did the live show and we just dragged Dean's kids in, didn't we? Yeah, they were wrapped right. About that. Spot,
yeah. Mate, he picked which one was his favourite.
Yeah. Have you decided which one's your favourite, mate?
It's always going to be the daughter, mate. Poor Jake has got no hope.
And, of course, that's going to be not on 1st of May, but on the 3rd of May, I think, the Sunday, the 3rd of May. So that's always a bit controversial because there is a May 1 group that would... People that think that May Bay should be celebrated on May 1, but here in Melbourne, it's the first Sunday.
They're going to go on forever and a day, won't it? That one, it's, I agree with it. It should be May the 1st. That's May Day, May the 1st.
Definitely.
It's just common sense.
Yeah,
right?
It should be May the 1st. Should be a public holiday. There's a number of common sense realities that should occur for it.
But anyhow, it is what it is, and while it's, no matter what date it is, we will certainly be... the MUA will be in behind it and supporting it, and our members, and we'll all be there supporting it.
And last year we had a feeder fundraise for Timor-Leste after it. We plan on having a similar one this year. We did have the Painters and Dockers last year. I don't think we're going to have the Painters and Dockers this year. It's going to be a couple of other bands.
Do we just throw Max Ward under the bus or not?
Yeah,
are we supposed to do that on live radio? Are we going to throw him under the bus or not? I'm not sure Max is as organised this year as he is for last year, but he is. He certainly is.
He is as organised. He's brilliant, Max.
Love Max. He can't not.
Who have we got in mind, Dave, for the entertainment? I heard Bruce Springsteen was...
Well, what about him? He came out with that song Minneapolis after, just like that, wrote a song as good as that.
Absolute legend.
And people like him, and he is, and he used the term, he's angry, you know, and so he should be.
Yeah. And we'll have to talk to him.
People being...
Have a chat with him, see if he'll swing down by Island Street and pop in and whip out a few tunes.
No, but
his song was a reaction. I'm getting off topic here. His song was a reaction to the blatant murder of that person in Minneapolis. That wasn't self-defence or... They just shot him dead.
No. They're protest songs, mate. And it goes back to what we were talking about before.
Yeah.
You know, protest and the social change.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway, so we hope the unions will support that, the unions and the public will support that fundraiser for a feeder again on May 3rd at the Island Street MUA Rooms. We're going to AAT, Aaron. You might...
bargaining there, and we've notified for industrial action that will start tomorrow, but we're meeting later today with the workforce and the company. In the hope that we can reach an agreement. We're just seeking some pay increases and some condition changes or benefit increases so that they match other workers at AAT, not just the... Because we're bargaining on behalf of the Web Dock workforce, and AAT has terminals at Appleton Dock, but larger ones at Brisbane and Port Kembla. And we're just seeking that our conditions match theirs and our pay match theirs. But we want to... The AAT only recently... acquired the old Mirat, the Web Dock site. And so there's a couple of things that our guys won in the
last...
Who owns
AAT?
AAT is owned by Cube. a couple of things our guys won in the last round of bargaining that they want to keep as well, like RDOs and stuff. So we're just trying to lock them away too. So, look, we're hopeful we'll get an agreement, but if not, action will start tomorrow afternoon and continue on next week. But... it's looking like, despite the fact they're owned by Cube, they're starting to come to the party. It's taken us since August last year, But I'm hopeful that they will do the right thing. So you just look. You never know, right?
Yeah.
You never know what, but we'll speak with the workforce today and they'll determine the direction and how they want to go and if an offer that we can get out of the company is sufficient.
And Dean, speaking of Cube Energy, you were down in Barry's Beach during the week and with Jason and your organiser.
Yeah, mate, it was a pretty good visit actually, Davo. Like you mentioned, Jason's main role will be focusing on some of those regional areas that we don't have coverage on, and Cube Energy is one that's been on the union's focus for a lot of years. We had a really good turnout, mate, a strong turnout from the workers down there, and I think it's going to grow. Hopefully we get some members out of it. I'm sure we will.
There's Stevedoring, aren't they?
And they're covered under the Transport Workers Award. So we believe that we should have coverage of those workers down there. And it is a bit of a growth corridor, as some of our listeners may be aware, that with the decommissioning kicking off, we've got more vessels coming in and out of Barry's Beach on a regular basis. So those stevedores, and we can call them stevedores, are getting extremely busy. They've got a bit of a mix of a casual and permanent workforce, about 50-50. I think there's about 40 down there. Jason was really good engagement with the union, and like I said, we're hoping to get coverage of all those guys down there. But it would be as it is when you're dealing with non-unionised workplaces, it can probably take a little bit of time, but we'll get there in the end.
And you visited the vessels down there as well, mate?
Yeah, mate. We're trying to make a bit of a concerted effort to get down there a bit more regular than I suppose what we have been. It's a bit of a drive, but we always drop in and see our comrades, seafarers down there, so they're going all right. DOFAR being a bit difficult at the moment. We've got a probably disputes list longer than my arm, but that'll be maybe for another radio show. But the guys are going, guys and girls are going all right.
Well, unlike an employer to play up when we're leading into bargaining.
Yeah.
That's something different.
So that EA down there, Cube Energy, has commenced negotiations?
They have, mate. It's 18 months out. So the company have reached out to the workforce.
It's a bit early.
It is a little bit early, mate. They could probably see that the MUA circling around. So they're trying to get in before we can. But, as we explained to those workers down there, that's okay. They've gone to them because they know that we're there, and they probably are scared that we're going to come in. Well, they know we're going to come in. So
there's a lot of build up in work down there.
There is, mate.
Yeah, we're expecting a lot of decommissioning work to happen through that terminal.
Yeah, that the early processes have started. Apparently, there's going to be the yard down there, which is quite a big footprint, is going to be divided into sort of two sections. Have one section as the decommissioning part, and then the Cube Energy workers will continue to service the the PSVs and the vessels coming in.
There's about eight or nine vessels coming in.
There is, mate. Yeah,
so it's become quite a.
It's become really busy down there. So.
Yeah. And speaking of vessels, the new Spirit of Tasmania 5 is finally in the last stages of its time in Scotland, in Leith. It's expressions of interest have gone out to TT Line members if they want to fly over to Scotland and bring that ship back. It's about a 42-day voyage.
There wouldn't be many applying, would there?
I think they're getting a few.
Are they getting a few, eh?
Yeah. There'll be two changes in crew, one in Scotland, one in Frio, and then the ship will come to Geelong where it'll do a few trials at Geelong to make sure that it fits the ramp there in Geelong, which I'm sure it will.
Are you sure that will, mate?
And then,
We wouldn't mess the build up like the Tasmanian government, will we?
No.
Not the people in Geelong.
Then the plan is for, I think, both those ships, the new ships, Spirit 4 and Spirit 5, to go to Williamstown, to the BAE wharf, which is getting some repairs done in preparation for those ships to come alongside, where they'll sit for another couple of months before going into service on October 30th, I believe, is the...
That's the date we'll smash the champagne over.
That's the date we'll
have to use the neck of the bottle to scrape the barnacles off. They've been sitting around for a while.
I believe
these two will need replacing them before they even go into service.
Yeah, that's the date TT Line have started selling tickets for the new vessels. So there's still a lot of work to be done there. They're 40% bigger than the old vessels, so there's going to be major changes to crew sizes. Well, We think there is. We're not sure what facilities are going to be open on the vessels, but we've got a lot of work to do there. The EA TT line runs out 30th of June this year, so we need to commence bargaining there and work out what crew we're going to need for the new vessels.
Have you commenced bargaining, or is that next week?
No, we haven't really. No, they haven't issued the NEWR. No,
but we're preparing as a union, and
absolutely. So yeah, that's the TT line story for the moment. For the Cube TT line guys, their agreement is in the final assessment stages. They've been waiting a long time, those guys.
Yeah, there wasn't goodbye Cube there. They put them on the long finger basically, and just took a long time to actually register that agreement and finalise it and register it. And the Fair Work Commission right now is backed up to the hilt. It's never known it to be so
unprecedented workloads is what they keep telling us.
Like, you know, it took 9 months for one decision to come through. We're still waiting on one
another.
Been 6 months.
I've heard through the grapevine that
good song.
That the Fair Work Commission is backed up because a lot of individual non-union members are using ChatGPT to pump out legal submissions and run their own cases. So they're just like swamped because they've got all of this material that's been filed that often doesn't make any sense. So they're like, that's compounding the workload.
Do people really go and use ChatGPT to write an email on that?
All the time.
They sure do.
And Dino, you're Sea Road. How's that going, mate?
Yeah, Sea Road, mate. We're done. I'm pretty happy to report that back to our listeners, Dave.
Seafarers.
Yeah. Seafarers are done, mate. It's going out to a vote on the 24th. We'll do both sides. I think I'm going over to Devonport to do the vote in the morning, and then we'll come back to Melbourne and do it in the afternoon.
Going on the ship, eh, mate?
No. I'll probably miss a stoppie on Tuesday if I did, mate. But
can't have that.
No, can't have that. And again, I know I've reported back on it, but some great outcomes for those seafarers down there, mate. Uplifting manning.
It's a rewrite of the whole agreement, wasn't it?
Yeah, rewrite of the document. That's why it's really taken so long. There's been a lot of drafting. We had a lot of drafting meetings back and forwards. And as you can appreciate, when you're basically rewriting a whole EA, it takes up a hell of a lot of time. So some really good outcomes. And you know,
especially when you type with one finger, mate.
Exactly right, mate, like me and Jason. No ChatGPT there, mate. It's all old school. But, great outcomes. Like I said, uplifts to the caterers, deck crew, extra 47 days leave, protect, 18% super. The list goes on. It's been a really good outcome for those guys and set some new benchmarks.
Good committee, obviously. Again.
Good committee, mate. Really good committee. So look out, Straightlink.
Congratulations to the committee of members. What an outcome.
They've done really well. The boys.
Give yourself a little pat.
Nah, it's all right.
And I'm off to Western Australia next week for the Lynx JEG dispute committee meeting, which always goes well. We always have a few wins there, so.
Few disputes going through that as well, Dave?
A few disputes, around superannuation being paid on workers' compensation. Our agreements clearly say that they have to pay superannuation when someone's on workers' compensation, even though the ATO doesn't require workers' compensation to be paid.
Just for the membership who might be listening, the JEG is a meeting between the company, union membership, representatives, and a Fair Work Commissioner.
That's right.
Who oversees that.
Deputy President Melanie Binet.
Yes, oversees that, and that's how you get to your run your disputes.
You used to be
that.
The Fair Work Ombudsman, Anna Booth. Yeah. She set up that system.
That's pretty unique, isn't it, Dave, across our industry? I don't know other companies use that.
No,
I don't think so.
That system or, you know.
Yeah.
Hmm. And it's been successful?
It has, yeah. Anyway, we're just about at the end of the show. We're going to go to our final song, which is also by Green Day, Boulevard of Broken Dreams.
And welcome back, Annie.
Thanks, members.
Have a great day, members.
Thanks, Annie.
I
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast. If you found it valuable, please consider donating or subscribing to support independent community radio. To find out more, go to 3cr.org.au.